to go. Taco to
and a big queue.
Taco to go.
Taco to go. Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go, taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
All right, let's go to the guest hotline right now. It is the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Eric Edholm of NFL Media, NFL.com, joins us now. Eric, forgive us for starting with Justin Tucker, but the news just broke.
Sure.
What do you make of the Ravens releasing him? And do you think someone rolls the dice and takes a chance on him, or is it too early to say that?
Yeah, no problem on the Tucker question. I saw it right as you guys were calling me. So, you know, I've had a couple minutes to thinking about it, but really had a while to think about it because, you know, during the draft, they took Tyler Loop, the kicker, and just sort of felt like that was the precursor to letting Tucker go. I don't know the timing on any of this stuff. I don't know if there was some discovery, you know, during their investigative process and what they were doing in-house about, you know, trying to, you know, determine the, you know, not only the severity of these accusations, but the accuracy of them and whatever they could determine that the authorities couldn't. But yeah, I just sort of felt like that was the first move. You know, you draft a kicker and then you release the guy who's been accused of some bad stuff. So as for whether he kicks again in the league, I mean, I think you guys are right. I would think there's gotta be some kind of clearing of these charges or something. I don't know whether it's
hard to have that press conference.
Yeah.
Where you're bringing him in right now.
I know.
But the questions that are looming, I should point out, I don't want to cut you off, but I'll tag you back in.
No, it's fine.
I just saw this from Schefter. Adam Schefter is tweeting that he's told by the team they're still insisting this is a football decision. You mentioned drafting Tyler Loop.
Because he had his worst season of his career this past year.
Yeah, he missed
35.
Eight field goals.
Yeah.
He was 22 of 30. And in fact, there were people, and I say there were people, I was one of them, who at different points said, you can't keep standing by this guy. And I don't even mean based on the trouble. I mean, he was missing so many kicks. They're a really good team. You felt like he was going to cost them. So they're at least saying this is about the on-field product. I still think he'd be there, and they wouldn't have drafted a kicker if not for what happened off the field. But that's not the song they're singing.
We've seen a little bit of a drop-off coming into last season, but then there was that stretch where, you know, he was missing extra points and the 50-yarders that he was so known for that looked like layups back in, you know, at one point in his career were becoming pretty labored. And, you know, they lost that game to Pittsburgh and a couple others just by virtue of his misses. And they stood by him then during, you know, when they were losing all these games and they were finding themselves, you know, swimming upstream a little bit, even if they knew they had a good football team. So, I mean, judge it how you will, but they stuck by him when he was struggling, when we didn't know these charges existed or didn't know these allegations were out there. And then once they came to light, he kind of straightened things out a little bit by the end of the year. So, yeah, kind of a complicated, ugly thing.
Eric Edholm with us here on Grant and Danny. Let's get to the power rankings, which are always fun fodder. You know, you got probably dozens of cities that are butthurt, angry at you in your mentions, a couple other places who think you're a genius. But go through it for us. No brainer to me to have the Eagles up at the top. They're, you know, they seem to always somehow find that guy in the draft that everybody should have taken but didn't. So they're number one. After that, does it get murky for you, or is it pretty clear cut?
Yeah, no, I mean, I kind of looked at it like almost like quartiles. You know, there's a top eight, a second eight, a third group, and then the last eight. And you just sort of do your best to try to get these. And obviously, I look at the Vegas win totals, and I look at what teams have done in the offseason. And we're about to have the schedule release. We obviously know who teams are playing, so you have an idea of how strong or weak a schedule is, even without knowing the order of the games and all that stuff. So I mix it through the spin cycle. It's a very scientific process, and see what I come up with. So obviously last year, fresh in our minds, you know, we have teams at the top that have had pattern histories of success, and we have the new kids on the block, like the Commanders. So there's always that fear. Remember a year ago, you know, the same breadth of conversation we're having with Washington is kind of the breakthrough team last year. We had the same conversation with Houston. and they had a very strange year. I mean, they were competitive in a bad division. They outlasted everybody, didn't look great in the process, and then, you know, looked pretty good in two playoff games. So, you know, what to make of them? And it was a up and down year. That kind of thing can happen for a team like the Commanders, but I don't try to overly penalize people for our teams for things that haven't happened yet, or I don't know. It's I wouldn't say it's clear cut, but there was a cutoff line, I felt like, at some point, maybe around 8 or 9, somewhere around Green Bay.
Eric Edholm of NFL Media. I had asked this question to callers last segment. I want to ask it directly to you. Is the reverence for Washington, and it's not just you, because Danny and I went through your rankings and said 6, we're not used to it. It feels high, right? But then we go,
yeah, right.
Well, we like them better than we like the team you listed 7, Tampa, or the Rams at 8, or the Packers at 9, what have you. So, yeah, maybe they're 6. But is that a Jaden Daniels endorsement or a Commanders endorsement? And maybe the point is they don't need to be separate. But I feel right. Like they're in the club now. Like I always say, the Bills are going to be in the AFC Championship game mix because of Josh Allen every year. The Chiefs, yep, with Mahomes. Are we saying that about the Commanders because of Daniels? And is it too soon after just 1 year to say that?
Yeah, that's a fair question. And in fact, just to kind of extend that example from before, I mean, I don't think it was crazy a year ago to suggest that C.J. Stroud played at a very comparable level. You know, that his, you know, rookies just don't avoid interceptions very often, right? That's something that both guys were able to do pretty well last year. I would say even, you know, Stroud had fewer, I think, than Jaden did. But still, I mean, the poise was off the charts. And so, you know, maybe after last year, even with bad protection, we knocked Stroud down a little bit, but he's still got that level of respect that I think puts him up or near the top. And I don't know that he can drag the Texans up the same way that maybe Jaden could do it with the Commanders, but maybe, you know, I mean, who knows? So it's just a reminder that, like, you can do it, but you may be out in front just a little bit, and teams are going to be diving into the tape, especially with a guy who's got a tough style to prepare for, right? And I'm sure people have been doing the same exercise with Lamar for years and bashing their heads against the wall as they do it. But, you know, there will be coaches out there who have spent a good chunk of their offseason devising ways to short-circuit this kid. So, yes, it's an endorsement of him for sure, and Dan Quinn as well, and a roster that looks so much better than it did, you know, 13 months ago, whatever. So it's been impressive to see how they really put this thing together. I think it's a team thing, but Jaden certainly is the, you know, the big beacon out in front.
Eric, let me ask you about what team from, I guess it might be your second quartile, possibly your third quartile. I'm not sure how your quartiles are divvied up. it's our SAT word we didn't know we were going to have on this program today. But give me somebody that's kind of arrow trending up that could end up maybe where Washington is now. I'm thinking of a team like Cincinnati, if they had like one defender, might have won 12 games last year. Or Denver with some of the arrow trending up. Give me somebody that could jump up to where maybe Washington is.
Yeah, and this is something where you look back last year and, you know, the Eagles technically played an easy schedule. So did the Commanders. You know, I mean, you have to weigh those kind of things in, and you look at some of the tougher schedules and you say, wow, you know, the Bengals, it feels like for a number of years now, have played a really tough schedule. That's something that you can't, you know, you have to factor in into what they did. So, you know, there's probably, I would say that in that next group, and I'm just kind of going down as I look here, there's probably, like, you know, for every Minnesota Vikings team that you can see losing more games than they did last year, there's a team like Denver who maybe I didn't love their draft and didn't think they'd exactly got what they needed, but still think this is a team that is gunning for a Chiefs team that, boy, I mean, you keep looking at the numbers last year. I think they outscored their opponents by 50 points and still won as many games as they did. And every week felt like a nail biter. How long is that sustainable for? I know they're the Chiefs. I know they've earned their flowers, but you know, I could see Denver stealing a win or two. They should have beat them in Arrowhead last year, things like that. Maybe those wins start coming this year. So just keep an eye on them. I mean, with that defense and Sean Payton and Bo Nix in his second season and the whole bit, I could see them being – and Tampa Bay, too. I don't remember exactly where I had them, but man, the Bucks offense should be fantastic. And that division has a lot of question marks. I think they're going to win a lot of football games.
I told Danny earlier in the show, I think the Patriots are a big-time sleeper this year for kind of that renaissance team of the Texans 2 years ago, Washington this year. So I want to get your thoughts. You have them 25th. And that's about where they should be ranked. I mean, you could rank them there and also still say, yeah, they could have an amazing year. But if you look at their new starters in free agency, Diggs, Matt Collins, Garrett Bradbury, Morgan Moses on offense, and they drafted Will Campbell at tackle. On defense, they did even better work. Milton Williams up front, Harold Landry off the edge, Robert Spillane at linebacker, Carlton Davis in the secondary. I just think there's a lot more there now than 1 year ago, and I love their coaching staff they put together with Vrabel. Could they be a surprise team?
And doesn't that offseason that you just kind of described right there feel a lot like what, you know, Adam Peters did a year ago? The only difference being they got May a year ago, and now he's in his second season. So, yeah, they attacked, you know, they added competition everywhere. They upgraded. Obviously, Jerod Mayo had 1 year. We didn't really get to see him that much. But from all outward appearances, I would say that Vrabel is going to be a good injection of life to that locker room. And so, you know, some of the receivers do anything and they've upgraded the offensive line. I mean, it could be very well in the cards. Their schedule is very favorable too. You know, you look at who they play and who they get at home versus away. I mean, some of their tougher games are at home. That's not bad, right? And the road schedule is pretty manageable. So there's definitely, and this is about where I had the Commanders last year. I think I had them like 26th or something. And people thought I was being a little too aggressive at that point. I mean, that's kind of what I'm seeing with New England is that, you know, type of, you know, Dan Quinn came in, changed the culture. I think Mike Vrabel can do the same thing in New England.
Eric, we haven't talked much about this, but just want your reaction. We're pretty pumped here in D.C. today. The draft is coming here in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Just, what have you made of the sort of the traveling spectacle roadshow? Just what are your thoughts on the nation's capital getting the offseason showcase?
Yeah, I guess I have to think about how many different cities. I didn't go this year to Green Bay, which is crazy because I live about 3 hours away. There was a reason why. But I've been to more, you know, Kansas City was terrific. It had a really good setup. Detroit was wild. I mean, it was a really big scene. So, you know, what you think about immediately is the logistics of it. The one thing that really hurt for me with Detroit was trying to walk anywhere. They had about 19 block perimeter set up, and you had to go through a certain entrance if you were media and certain entrance if you're fans, and it made for a very long haul. But so whenever I hear about a city coming to a draft and or vice versa, whatever, draft coming to a city, you think, is it set up for this kind of thing? And it, from all sounds of it, you know, like Green Bay was perfect because it's such a small place and you can move around pretty easily, but it'll be a different story in D.C. Obviously, there's no more dramatic backdrop than that one. And obviously, all the historical buildings there, I think, will add a different kind of flair to it. And so, yeah, I mean, it really is neat. I remember going to my first draft in New York and then later in Chicago and thinking, how is the draft going to be exciting? But they really do put as much as they possibly can into the fan experience, and they've learned a lot over the last 10 years.
Eric Edholm of NFL Media. How about Shedeur Sanders' fall? What do you blame is maybe the wrong word. Why did that happen?
I think it's a lot of different factors. I think him not having an agent and having, you know, a lot of people in his corner saying, like, you know, you're the man, you need to be picky about where you're going and all this stuff. I think it may have ended up being the wrong approach. I think an agent sometimes can smell these things and see these things coming and say, look, teams are going to be turned off by this. That was some of the feedback I got was that it felt like Shedeur was wanting to be wooed as opposed to, you know, doing the wooing himself. And look, I don't know how it's supposed to work or how it should work. I just know how teams typically look at these things, and that could be a turnoff. And the reality is there were only about probably 7 or 8 teams that realistically made sense for him anyway in the draft. Like teams that were committed to drafting a quarterback, willing to use resources to do it, had the picks, blah, blah, blah. So the field was already kind of slim to begin with. And once the Giants went with Jackson Dart, and the Browns went with Dylan Gabriel, it was like, wow, okay, what's happening here? So I think he got hurt by the process a little bit. His talent, to me, suggests he should have been a top 50 pick. It just, you know, it was an unusual situation, and the fact that he ended up in Cleveland made it even stranger. So I don't know how it's going to end up, but man, if there's a spot where I think he could win that job, it's probably there. So crazy how it worked out.
Quick thought, you know, the old school football guys that want to tell me about running the ball and establishing the run and stopping the run and everything's about that, and then we can do everything else. We're loving this draft this year. I think it was like 18 or 19 of the first round picks were trench guys, whether it was offensive line, defensive line. Is that just this year? Or are we kind of seeing a theme start to develop about, you know, we had all the passing numbers video game style a few years ago. Now everybody's playing shells. Are we seeing sort of a response to the response, which is now responding?
Absolutely. And I said it, you know, I think I even said it at the height of the passing era, you know, in 2011 or whatever, when we were, you know, when, you know, the fifth leading passer in the NFL had 5,000 yards, right? At some point, the run game is going to cycle back into the league. There's no way it can't, because you go so far in one direction, one person's willing to start going against the grain, then everybody follows. And I think that's, and some of it is the quarterback run game too. You know, obviously teams are more open to having a Jaden Daniels do his thing and whatnot. That's becoming more common. So, yeah, I mean, you start putting dime defenses out there, light fronts, pass rushing fronts. Teams are going to load up with 12 personnel and unbalanced lines and big backs, and let's see you stop it. And that's hard to do. So, yeah, I think with the Barkley and move and all the free agency moves, Derrick Henry and Josh Jacobs, you know, Bucky Irving down in Tampa was a great draft pick and other ones. So, you know, we're seeing that now with the backs and tight ends and offensive linemen and defensive linemen all went at the top of this draft. And part of it was also the talent that was available.
Eric, lovely information and rankings for the Commanders. We're all about them being sixth on the power ranking. So for all of those people yelling at you, we're the opposite of that. Thank you for joining us.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy.
So kind of you guys. Thank you.
We can't miss today. We got a new stadium, hopefully. We got the NFL draft coming. Jaden Daniels has things looking up. We're in a good mood.
Right, put him in a bubble, and we'll see you in August.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, seriously. Is that the truth? Eric Edholm of NFL Media with us here on Grant and Danny.